This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. We exalt Him and we praise Him and we thank Him for all His abundant blessings. And if we were to count the blessings of Allah, never ever would we be able to enumerate them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us steadfastness on His worship, to grant us to be grateful for the blessings that He's given us. And we send our love, our greetings and salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pious and pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to be steadfast on the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah bless us in this waqt of Jumu'ah. May our sins of last week be forgiven in this waqt. May Allah accept this as our du'as that we've made. For those who wrote exams, may Allah grant them the best of success to our youngsters in the exams. Allah grant those who are about to travel on holiday, grant them a safe travel and a safe return. For those who are going through difficulty, may Allah alleviate the difficulties of the dunya. And those who have passed away, may Allah bless them in their qabr and grant them mercy. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, over the past couple of weeks, we've done the series on our rizq series. And we spoke about transactions, about riba, the dangers of harmful and earning money in a haram way. And then we spoke about ways of increasing it in a spiritual way. That yes, we said that it is important, Allah will not give you your rizq if you do not also make the effort. You need to go out and you need to have a plan. You need to work according to the dunya, as we said, the asbab. But there are also spiritual ways which you can increase your money. We spoke about that last week and the week before, that istighfar, just by making istighfar, Allah will increase your wealth. Just by doing your business in a halal way, Allah will give you added barakah and blessings in that. Just by keeping family ties, Allah will put barakah in your money and you'll find that your money will increase. That by doing the right thing all the time, even if it's detrimental to you, but you have the taqwa, Allah will open for you doors which you could not have imagined. And we listed about 15 of them or so. And the one we didn't mention, which is perhaps the most important one, is the weapon of the believer, the thing that we have no matter which situation we are in. When we are looking for that rizq, even if all the doors are closed, when we are fighting that cancer, even when all the medical treatment is done, we always have one powerful resource, and our asset is the dua. That we can raise our hands to the creator of the universe, to the one who has and owns all wealth, the one who gives wealth, the one who takes wealth, the one who gives health, the one who takes it, the one who has power over all things, and we can raise our hands to Allah. And Allah says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكَ if, and your Lord said that if you ask me, أَسْتَجِبَ لَكُمْ if you call out to me, I guarantee you I will respond. If you ask, I will give. Guaranteed, a promise from Allah. It might not come in the way that you wanted, it might come in a better way. It can only come in a better way. Either Allah gives you exactly what you asked, or He will give you something better than that. So it's a guarantee. So Allah says, if you ask me, then I will surely respond. So ask and I will respond to your call. And we know the beautiful ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي when my servant asks you about me, where am I, how am I? Then say to him, إِنِّي قَرِيب I'm always close to you. I'm always near to you. I know your situation. So ask me. Tell me, Ya Allah, I'm broke. Ya Allah, I'm in debt. Ya Allah, I'm struggling. Say it to him. Beseech him for his rahmah, his mercy. The Sahaba would say, even if we needed something as small as a shoelace, they would make dua for it. Make dua, this, and you will find, inshaAllah, that there will come a way out. That Allah will give you, either give you what you need, He will give you an increase in sustenance, or you will find a way to make do with what you have. You will find contentment in that. So the dua is our weapon always. And the Muslim therefore never loses hope, because he has a direct line to Allah. Just, you know, we don't give any examples. Lillahi mathal a'la, Allah has no likeness. But if you had a direct line, if you had the president on speed dial, and he would help you no matter what you do, what you ask of him, you feel invincible. You feel like, there's nothing I can worry about. I just phone up my friend and he's going to sort me out. Well, you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any time of day access. Just raise your hands and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer. So we said in this discussion, wealth ultimately is a test. Everyone is being tested. Some of us are being tested by Allah giving us money, and some of us Allah is testing by withholding money. That's a test. Everyone is being tested in this thing, every single person. And Allah says this in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَكُمْ بِشَرٍ وَخَيْرٍ فِتْنَةً, that we will give you a fitna that is good and bad, a test of goodness and of blessing, and a test of difficulty. And ultimately, وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ, ultimately you'll come back to me. This is just purely a test. At this time of year, for many of us, alhamdulillah, we're going to a period where we've earned the money, maybe we've got bonuses, alhamdulillah, we've just had a payday. How we spend that money? What do we do with the wealth? That's the next question. And having money, we said, is sometimes, and usually this is agreed by the scholars, having wealth is a bigger test than not having wealth. Having wealth is more dangerous than not having it. As the pious people of old understood that every blessing comes with a price tag. Every blessing, you must take account with Allah. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah is going to ask you, just to understand this thing, and it makes us scared sometimes. We know the very famous story of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, the Sahabi that actually housed the Prophet. When he came to Medina, he didn't have a house. He stayed with Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, buried in Turkey. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari tells us a story that once Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar, they were in the masjid at like 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock the afternoon. Now, no one is around in the desert awake that time. It's like middle of... That's more people are awake 12 o'clock the night than 12 o'clock the afternoon because it's hot. So no one is awake. And so Abu Bakr asked Sayyidina Umar, why are you here? He said, I can't sleep because I'm hungry. Abu Bakr said, the same reason, I'm also here. I don't have anything to eat, so I can't sleep, so I'm hungry. And of course, subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ was there as well. Out of hunger, he couldn't sleep. So the three of them are so hungry, they said, you know what? Abu Ayyub always has something. Let's go and ask him. Imagine Rasulullah ﷺ knocking on the door for something to eat with Abu Bakr and Umar. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So they go to Abu Ayyub's house, and when he sees his guests, Ya Allah, it's the Rasul with Abu Bakr and Umar. He says, not only am I going to give you lunch, but he's going to actually like give a feast. So he cuts some dates from his tree. The Prophet says, why did you cut so much? We don't need, you could have taken the ripe ones. Why? Even Abu Ayyub obviously went more than he wanted to honor his guest. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, allow me to slaughter a goat and then we can have the goat for lunch. So the Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't slaughter a goat that is gives milk. So he took a young, small one and he told his wife, bake some bread. So they ate some dates, bread and some meat. And the Prophet said, he was crying. He said, Allah is going to ask us of this blessing. We're going to have to be answerable for this blessing. Now, subhanAllah, our meals that we eat is better than this. When we talk about the kings of old and their arrogance, they would be amazed that you can put on a light and there's light. You can press a button and your room is cold or it's hot. You turn a tap and the water comes out. You can go to a toilet and flush and it's gone. These blessings, subhanAllah, let alone our health, our family, we will be answerable for these blessings. Every blessing, Allah will ask. And the Prophet taught the Sahaba when they add, how do we answer? He said, when you begin, say Bismillah, and you're done, say Alhamdulillah. Just thank Allah, Alhamdulillah, and you've paid the price of that blessing. Every blessing comes at a price tag. And the more you have, the more you're going to answer for it. When you look at that bank account, if it's a bit high, you're going to have to answer for it. How did you use it? So wealth is a test. And some of us fail in this test, and it's worse to fail in the test of wealth. And there are things that we can do that actually Allah will bring ruin on that wealth. That wealth can be the cause of your ruin, or that you can, you know, there's two things here. You can, the wealth can be ruined, that's not so bad. You lose it, and that is your punishment in the dunya. Or even worse than that, the wealth ruins you. So what are the things that we see from the Quran, how wealth can destroy? The number one thing that you find that destroys you and your wealth is arrogance. We find this in the Quran. Two people, for example, we find Fir'aun, we find the story of Qarun, we find the story of the man in Surah Al-Kahf who had lots of wealth. What happens usually is wealth makes you feel better than others. You begin to believe that this is yours. You forget it's only on loan, it's going to come back. And you begin to look at others who don't drive the car that you have, don't have the bank account that you have, that they are lesser. Their opinions don't mean anything. That I am superior. So there was this man called Qarun in the time of Nabi Musa, alayhi salam. He was an Israelite, but he worked with the Pharaoh against his own people. And he profited from his own people, from dhulm and oppression. So much that his houses were filled with gold and treasure. They didn't have banks, so they had vaults. And his private vaults were so big, Allah says in the Quran, that men had, a group of men would carry the key to open the door. That's how rich he was. And Nabi Musa said to him to be thankful and grateful to Allah, for look at what you have. And look at his response. He says, إِنَّمَا أُتِيتُهَا عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. That this that you see here has come out of my knowledge, my expertise, my skills. Because I'm smart, I'm professional, my qualifications, this is because of my business abilities, what I have. He ascribed his wealth and his prosperity to himself. And that is arrogance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, did he not see that I have destroyed, belittled people greater than him in power? So we know Allah had swallowed him and his wealth up into the ground as a punishment for him. Fir'aun, when he was asked to humble himself, he says, do you not see I own all of this Egypt belongs to me and the rivers, they flow under my feet? What happened to him? The man in Surah Al-Kahf, when his neighbor said to him, don't be ungrateful. You have so many properties that you look, you as far as the eye can see, you have wealth. What did he say? He said that this has come to me because of myself and it will last, I think it will last forever. So Allah, in a blink of an eye, took it away. When we begin to feel deluded by our wealth, we begin to feel some self-worth and pride in our hearts, when wealth does that to us, then if we are lucky, Allah will only take away our wealth to humble ourselves. If we are unlucky, Allah will take away our wealth and cause us to die on that pride. Subhanallah. Never ever feel yourself better. Always, and Allah always takes you back. Look at where you began. Look at where you began. You began with nothing. If you grew, alhamdulillah, you progressed better than others in life. You started off nowhere. And you will end off in that same place. Don't think you are superior. Even if you are the CEO of the company, wallahi, that man that cleans your office might have greater taqwa than you. That person that cleans out your toilet might be greater in the sight of Allah than you. Never ever feel yourself superior. Many of us, our domestic workers, may be more pious in the sight of Allah than us. And that's the only thing that counts. And Allah ends this with Qarun's story. Allah says, Allah will not give the akhirah to people that put corruption in the world, they do mischief, and they exalt themselves, they feel themselves boastful. But al-aqibatu lil-muttaqin, that the end, Allah is going to give it to the muttaqin, the people of taqwa. People of taqwa. Let your wealth never make you feel grand. When you buy a new, it's okay to have new clothes, it's okay to have a nice asset, it's okay to enjoy yourself. But the minute you have that sense of self-worth, very, very dangerous. Allah hates that feeling of arrogance is of the major sins. One of the things that also takes away the barakah from your wealth, the reason why many people feel, I work so hard, but I don't seem like I'm moving forward. My wealth isn't, my bills just never get met. But no matter how much effort I put in, one calamity after the other knocks me. Why? The hadith of Prophet ﷺ says, as narrated by Ibn Majah, a man is deprived of provision because of the sins that he commits. The sins that he does, his provisions, Allah takes it away. And we know that sometimes Allah tests us with a calamity as a mercy, and sometimes it comes as a purification. Allah punishes us by taking away our wealth, so that we hopefully will return. When we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, as we know the opposite is true. When we obey Allah, Allah will increase our rizq and sustenance. And therefore, when we disobey Allah, He takes away that sustenance. One scholar of the Salaf, pious scholars, he would say, when I feel myself I committed sin, I disobeyed Allah in something, then I find the attitude even of my animal changes. Even my animal becomes disobedient to me. My relationships go bad. My business's problems happen. People don't, you know, my debtors don't pay on time. My creditors are on my neck. Even my animal is not obedient, doesn't work. My car doesn't work. Why do we have these calamities? And like we said, subhanAllah, everything is a test. Blessing is a test, calamity is a test. How you respond to that will determine if it's you pass that test or not. So if Allah has tested you with calamity, we ask, Ya Allah, what have I done wrong? We give shukr and we say, Ya Allah, let's introspect. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. Let me fix that. Stop doing the sin. Also, you know what? Some of the scholars mention, it's a mercy of Allah. That if you are a person that is, if we are bad people, if Allah gave us more wealth, what would we, if we are a corrupt person, what would we do with that wealth? We will use it for more corruption. We will actually use it to do more evil. So as a mercy from us, when Allah sees we're doing bad, He withholds it so that we don't strangle ourselves with that rope. You understand? That's of the mercy of Allah. But sometimes things don't go well in our life. I get many calls, subhanAllah. They will say the business isn't doing so well, things are not going well in the exams, whatever. It must be jinn, Sheikh. It must be jinn. Is there no azimat you can give me, something to drink? Then you look, do you perform your salah, 5 daily salahs? Sometimes, how do you do your business dealings? You cheat people. There's some people that, you know, I haven't paid them. Now, subhanAllah, don't worry about jinn. First, worry about yourself. First, worry about yourself. If things don't go right in your life, do an introspection. Sometimes, yes, alhamdulillah, you're doing everything right, and as an added test and purification, Allah will also make it difficult. Even, look, subhanAllah, so the Prophet ﷺ doesn't have food to eat. The Prophet ﷺ doing everything right, and Allah also tests him. But you are the one that must decide, is this a punishment, a purification in the dunya, or is it a test? And most of us, subhanAllah, we know it is because we're not doing things properly while our rizq is not going as far as it should be. Another reason where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will withhold that rizq for us, that the rizq is there, and Allah has written it for you, but because of something you're doing, it is withheld. It's being ungrateful for what you have. It's being ungrateful for what you have. So Allah says to you and me, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْسُوهَا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. That if you were to really count, Allah says, the favors I've given you, if you really count what I give you, you would be unable to quantify them. If you would, Allah says, okay, you have such a bad life, we moan and we groan of what we don't have. So let's add up what you have. Let's put a price on your health, the price on your family, the price on living securely, freely, the price on the car that you have, the job that you have. Let's put all your blessings together. Now, do you really want to complain? And that's what Allah says, if you count what I give you, you would realize that, subhanAllah, we have not given Allah the shukr He deserves. Allah says to us, if you were to count Allah's favor, you would not be able to count them. And most surely, insan is very unjust to Allah, and very ungrateful to Allah. We are unjust to Allah. All we do is we complain. In another ayah, Allah says that when we give Him, He's happy with me. But when we withhold, then He forgets. Then He becomes angry. He becomes an opponent to me. And in fact, the highest form of ungratefulness is when Allah gives you and me something, a blessing, and we abuse that blessing, or we use it against Him. وَلِلَّهِ مَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. We don't give Allah any kinds of analogies. But if a parent, if you were to give your child some kind of blessing, some money, for example, if they were to squander it, that's bad. They wasted it. But imagine they use that to harm you as the one that gave. They actually use it against you. How ungrateful is that? That's what we do. We take the blessing that Allah has given us and we actually use it in sin, in corruption, in harming others. So it's only sometimes as a mercy that Allah takes it back. In fact, in the Quran, Allah mentions if He really wants to destroy a people, He will give them the full, open all the doors to allow them to use it to the full level of haram and corruption, then He takes them like that. That is the highest form of punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that, subhanAllah, when we look at our life and we look at the problems or the things that we wish we had, or it's when we compare our lives to that of others. We compare ourselves to a photoshopped Facebook life of someone else. Look what they're wearing. Look at the holidays they're going on. Look at the things they eat. And we compare and we say, I wish I had that. I wish I had that. And subhanAllah, number one, we know that it's superficial. That is just the highlights. You know, the top 10 moments. We haven't seen the other rest of the day, how bad things were for that person's life. We only see the good points and we compare ourselves to that. We look at that person's wife and we look at our wife and then we compare and we feel that's not good enough. And this, subhanAllah, is a high level of ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A high level of ingratitude. If you were to compare, to make a proper comparison, then at least also compare yourself to the guy lesser than you. The one that doesn't have what you have. As they say, the well-known saying of the scholars, that if all the people were to put their wealth together, and all the people were to put their problems and their sorrows together, and you were to take a share, you would say, you know what, give me back my original lot. I don't want to take the share of everyone else's. Because you realize you're actually above average. That your problems are not really the big problems. Alhamdulillah, subhanAllah, there are people that we know don't have food to eat. People that are dying. People that don't have health. People that are going through war. People that are going through so many problems that we couldn't even imagine. Yet they say Alhamdulillah. They give shukr to Allah because they know there's someone lesser. So no matter what position you and I are in, you can desire more, no problem to want more. Let it never ever make you forget what you have. And never ever stop making shukr to Allah. Because as we said last week, just by saying Alhamdulillah, you've signed off, I've appreciated that blessing, and now Allah will give you more. So ingratitude is of the things that takes away. If you complain a little too much, and you spend more of your time thinking what you don't have, there's a level of ungratefulness. There's a level of ungratefulness. Another reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beyond arrogance and sin and being ungrateful, is how you spend. One of the competencies of a believer is that we are able to manage our financial affairs. We should be able to manage it correctly. And it's a rewarding, Allah rewards you for managing it correctly. We mentioned this a while back, that Allah says in the Quran that if you have the wealth of an orphan, and they reach an age of marriage and they're competent, then give them their wealth over. Meaning, to manage money requires a degree of competency. So Allah speaks about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells in Surah Al-Isra, that once that of your obligations in terms of wealth, Allah says, and give the relative his right. The relative meaning the distant relative. The one that you don't usually give. So yes, we always help our kids, our parents, our spouses. The immediate family, we tend to help them. But sometimes we forget the aunties, the cousins, the distant cousins. So Allah says, don't forget about the relatives, that extended family. And the poor person, and the traveler, the one who doesn't have a place to stay. But when you are giving in charity, do not spend wastefully. وَلَا تَبَذَّرُوا تَبْذِيرًا. Don't spend wastefully. This is in charity. This is in something good. You can actually be wasteful in charity. So what about something not as noble as charity? And Allah says, verily the mubadhirin, that those who are wasteful in expenditure, they are the brothers of the shayateen. That they have an attribute, they share an quality with the devils. Because the devils are wasteful. And ever Allah says, is the devil a ungrateful, لِرَبِّهِ كَفُورًا. He's a kafir to Allah. Kafir doesn't mean a disbeliever. Kufr actually means he's ungrateful. The shayateen are always ungrateful to Allah. Meaning, actually what Allah is saying, Allah gives even the shayateen, Allah blesses them, gives them blessings. And they are ungrateful. So don't be like them. And Allah continues, and if you were to turn away from the needy, now this is something that subhanAllah happened to me last night, I was telling my wife, at 11 o'clock someone knocked on my door. At 11 o'clock was a bit late. And I could see this guy was out of his mind. He wasn't, you know, he was, subhanAllah, he was not in a proper state of mind. And he's coming to ask, you know, and you're going to get upset. And I remember this ayah. You want to say some harsh words. And this ayah, Allah says, and if you turn away from the needy, while you are awaiting mercy from your Lord that you expect, then at least speak to them a gentle word. At least, if you can't give money, at least say something nice. Allah says, that's the least you do. Because remember, you are also in need of Allah. You asking Allah constantly, you are the beggar, and now you see another guy begging of you, and that's how Allah responds to you, is how you must respond to that man. Okay? And then Allah says, and do not make your hand as chained to your neck, meaning don't be miserly, and don't extend it completely, and don't waste and spend completely, and become blamed and insolvent. So here Allah is explaining two types of people that spend. One spends too much, and one spends too little. You can even spend too much in charity. You can even be wasteful in charity. And Allah continues that, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. Allah is the one that extends provisions for whom He wants, and He constricts it for whom He wants. وَإِنَّهُ كَانَ بِعِبَادِي خَبِيرًا بَصِيرًا. And Allah is always aware of the situation, hearing and seeing the situation of His servants. So in this ayah, these ayat, the point we make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to you, how you spend your money is either sinful or it's an ibadah. You can spend too much and you can spend too little. You can waste and you can hoard. And every one of us must analyze ourselves, how am I spending my money? So what is wasteful spending and what is being a miser? The Prophet ﷺ talks about wastefulness in Sahih Muslim. He says, verily Allah the Exalted is pleased with you by doing three things, and He becomes displeased when you do three things. He is pleased when you worship Him without any shirk. And when you hold onto the rope of Allah, meaning the Quran, when you hold onto the Quran. And number three, when you are not divided. So Allah is happy when you worship Him, you hold onto the Quran, and you are united. It pleases Allah. And He's displeased for you when you gossip amongst one another, when you ask unnecessary questions, and when you waste your wealth. It displeases Allah. It upsets Allah. The Prophet said, they asked the Sahaba, what is, the Prophet ﷺ was walking by Abdullah ibn Umar, and or rather Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, Sa'd ibn Abi, one of the 10 promised Jannah, he was taking wudu. And the Prophet said, what is this extravagance? You're taking wudu and you're wasting the water. So Sa'd said, is it extravagant? Can I use too much water in wudu? I'm trying to make wudu like 100% for Allah's sake. I'm trying to clean everything. Is this extravagance even in wudu? I mean, I understand that I can waste on holiday, I can waste on my family, but for Allah's sake, can I waste too much? The Prophet said, even if you were at the bank of a river and you used like one drop more than you're supposed to, that's waste. That's israf. Whenever we use something beyond what is required, beyond what is needed, and that extra could have gone for some better use, then that's wastefulness. That's wastefulness. So again, we ask this in the context of our lives. Our food, our water, our electricity, our assets, are we wasting in that regard? And maybe we don't move forward because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us X amount, we wasted some of it, so Allah is not giving us, because if He were to give us more, we'd waste even more. And that will be more blame upon us. Mujahid, the great tafsir scholar, when he explained this ayah, he says, if a man spends all of his wealth, everything correctly, he's not wasteful. But if he spends even a little bit inappropriately, then he's counted as those who are extravagant and wasteful. So every blessing, in a general rule, every blessing Allah has given you, your time, your wealth, your knowledge, your money, your family, there's a way in which you discharge, you use that blessing. If you use it in an incorrect way, or you don't use it, it just completely just goes to waste. It's there. We have clothes, subhanAllah, in our cupboard, we haven't worn for a year. That's a blessing that is standing idle. Someone else could be using it. Now it becomes wasteful and israf. Or we use that asset that was given to us, we abuse it. It breaks, it damages without care and concern. Yes, accidents happen. But we need to be accountable for that, subhanAllah. Or even worse, if we use it for haram. We use it for haram. Then we need to ask ourselves, are we really using Allah's blessings correctly? On that note, the Prophet ﷺ says, and this perhaps is something we'll talk about not maybe next week or the week after, there are two blessings which really go, which many, in fact most people, we waste these two blessings. Most of us are guilty of this. Very few people actually succeed this question. They will pass this. There's a question in the exam that most people will fail. That is the blessing of time, the blessing of free time and good health. We don't use our good health as it should be used. We don't use our free time as we should. Many of us will take this opportunity in the holiday, not let alone not to do good. We might actually increase in sin. So by Allah giving us a holiday as a blessing, it actually was detrimental to us. This is again something for us to think about. Now, this period, December period, holiday period, is where we spend. And this is where we need to think about how we spend. This is where it's dangerous, and we talk about spending. And one of the things we have to think about very, very carefully is about spending to the point of being indebted. Debt is very, very dangerous in Islam. It's not haram, but it's something that is taken very seriously in the sight of Allah. The longest verse in the Quran, the longest verse in the Quran is the ayah of Dain. Ayah number 282, Surah Baqarah. The ayah of debt. Very close to the end of Surah Baqarah, you'll see it's a whole page, is the ayah of debt. Allah gives a whole breakdown, a procedure of how debt should be practiced. And not to talk for myself, but yesterday when I put this ayah down, there are certain debts, I have debts as well, and I realized, subhanAllah, I'm not following this injunction correctly. The ayah tells you that when you have a debt, whether big or small, it should be documented, there should be witnesses, it should be agreed upon between people, whether it's big or small, it should be confirmed. Every one of us, we might have debts, you know, this is normal, this is part of life, document it correctly. At the very least, there will be barakah in that. Just by doing that, you're following the injunction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a long ayah. You have to write it down. You have to have witnesses. You have to agree on when you're going to pay back to the best of your ability. With a desire that I'll pay it back sincerely, correctly. It will avoid mischief in the dunya. It will avoid animosity between people. And this is the requirement from Allah. So from the debtor, you should not, to the best of your ability, not take debt. The Sharia doesn't want you to take debt. But of course, situations are different. For the one who gives the loan, the one, so some of you, alhamdulillah, you're in the position of creditor. You've actually loaned the money. Just something for you. When you loan a money, it's one of the best forms of passive kind of sadaqah. While that loan is outstanding, yes, you're entitled to get it back. But you're being rewarded as someone giving sadaqah, charity. Now sadaqah, usually give it, you don't get it back. But you're going to get your loan in full. You've actually like invested it in this debtor. He used it, he paid it back, and you actually got rewarded for that. And that's why lending, there's no interest. Why? Because it's seen as an act of charity. A man will only come to you in need. We don't add on to his burdens by putting interest on him. We loan it to him. It's just a timing issue, inshallah. His situation will get better after a few months. He gives it back. You didn't lose out, but you got massive reward from Allah for that. Now, for those of us who are in debt, and we want to spend maybe here more than we have in this period, look at this hadith, very serious hadith. So take this into account the next time you want to overdraw your account. We spoke about interest. We're not even talking about interest debt. That is something even extremely bad. Not haram, you can't have access to it. But even debt that has no interest. This applies to a man who takes debt without interest. The Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba said, we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah ﷺ when he raised his head towards the sky and then put his palm of his hand on his forehead. He put his hand on his forehead. And he said, Subhanallah, what a strict issue has been revealed to me. What a strict thing Allah has now said to me. And the Sahaba said, we remained silent and we were afraid, we were scared. So we didn't ask the question. The Sahaba, Subhanallah, they said, you got something? They didn't even ask the question. The next morning, the Sahabi, asked the Prophet, Ibn Jahsh, he asked the Prophet, O Messenger of Allah, what was the strict issue that was revealed? So he said, the Nabi said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, if a man were killed in jihad for the sake of Allah and brought back to life, and then killed again and brought back to life, and killed a third time and brought back to life three times, and he owed a debt, he will not enter Jannah until that debt is paid off. Shaheed three times. Now your salah, your charity, your hajj, until you pay that debt off to someone, it will not be, you will not get the reward, you are held back. Until that reward is paid off. Until that debt is paid off. And you ask, sometimes you need to ask yourself, is it worth taking that extra money for a want and not a need? It makes you scared. It's not worth it sometimes. Not the dunya implications, but the akhirah implications as well. The Prophet, subhanAllah, the Prophet refrained from offering janazah salah on someone who died owing 2 dinars. Like 20 rand, basically, he had that debt. Prophet couldn't pray janazah salah on him. So one sahabi said, you know what, I'll pay it, no problem. I'll pay it in charity. And the Prophet said, now that brother's skin has become cool for him, meaning he was being punished in his qabr because of that. His life was made difficult in the qabr because of that. Aisha narrated that the Prophet ﷺ used to say in his salah, every salah, he used to make dua, O Allah, protect me from sin and the heaviness of debt. Every single salah, the Prophet asked, Ya Allah, protect me from sin, and he's sinless, and from debt. So someone asked him, how often, Ya Rasulullah, you ask for, I hear you recite this dua for debt so often, why, Ya Rasulullah? So the Prophet said, when a man gets into debt, he begins to tell lies, and he makes promises, and he breaks them. I promise you, I'll pay you back tomorrow. Wallahi, I'll pay you back tomorrow. You make lies and promises that you can't keep. And that's why we spend away from debt. So let's talk, and time is running up a bit, about spending. Good spending, bad spending. Of course, any spending which is for halal means is good. You'll be rewarded. Haram, no matter what it's for. If it's haram, you're going to be punished. You're incurring sin and you're taking away the barakah. By fulfilling your obligations of feeding, clothing, sheltering, your necessities. If you're fulfilling that, even if you need to borrow money to fulfill that, that's your necessities. You need to do that. And there's a big difference between a need and a want. Haram or bad to spend on a want before your needs and obligations are met. Some people, subhanAllah, they spend on entertainment and they haven't paid their kids' school fees or madrasa fees. Or they haven't paid the man who fixed your car, the mechanic. They have accounts that are outstanding, but yet they spend on things which are wants. That's an obligation. That's an obligation that you are neglecting. It's a bad form of spending. When you buy something which benefits you, is good. You buy an asset, it benefits you. But when you buy an asset that does not benefit you, it stands, you never used it. You have clothes and shoes and things that have no benefit. An asset that you've only used once or twice and it stands idle, then that's wasteful expenditure. Or of course, if you use it for haram. Using a resource to the best of efficiency, the maximum usage, that's good. But the minute you use it and waste, then of course this is bad expenditure. In terms of, from the financial gurus, they list things that will ruin you financially. There's certain tips. In fact, I didn't add this, but they say the biggest mistake for those over 30, the thing that will be the biggest risk for you financially, number one, is to get divorced. It will ruin you financially. A divorce is perhaps the most expensive thing you can do, right, in your 30s. And the 20s, the biggest mistake is to marry the wrong person. So just something to think about. And it will have an implication on your life in the 30s. So there may be a list of things. That number one, most mistakes we do, we don't budget, we don't forecast. We don't budget and we don't hold account. You ask, my money ran up, but you don't know where it ran up. That's a problem. If you don't know how it ran up, then that's an issue for you. That's a problem. And you know, the way we do an equation, we say, look, I earned 10,000 minus my expenditure. What's left is savings. If you do that, you'll never have savings. Because we as insan, we can spend, we can survive on 1,000 rand, but we can also blow 10 billion rand easily. That's how our nature is. Rather, you do it the other way around. You first take out your savings and you pay off your obligations. And what's left is for your discretionary entertainment spending. So spending more than you can afford, using debt to pay for your wants is a major problem. Holidays that we can't afford, cars that we can't afford, clothing that we can't afford, and we take debt to pay for that. That is a recipe for disaster. And we live in a society which is very easy. Constantly you're being bombarded, 500,000 rand, 10 million rand, whatever it might be, you get these SMSs. So living on debt, if you're constantly living, paying one debt with the next, there's a problem. You might need help. Buying expensive assets that lose value. The worst asset to buy is a car. Brand new car, you know, you won't, from an accounting perspective, you'd spend, the minute you drive that car off the lot, it lost like 10% of its value. If you want to sell it now, one day late, you will lose thousands of rands. So buying an asset that really loses its value very quickly, you're paying for that asset. Maybe this time people are having weddings. They spend so much on weddings that it puts them in financial ruin, strain. That puts the toll on their marriage. These kind of expenditure, unnecessary kind of expenditure. You might find that there's never-ending payments. What I mean, there are things that you're paying for that have no end. Look at your debit orders. Look at your debit orders. A lot of those debit orders have no benefit. Yes, it's 50 rand, 20 rand, 30 rand. Add it up, subhanAllah, be thousands of rands. It's you spending on nothing. Not saving for a rainy day can become very, very expensive. As a believer, it's not haram to save. Not haram to save. I use this example, someone asked me, I said Nabi Yusuf saved for 7 years to prepare for the drought that was going to come. No problem in saving for a calamity or saving for that time. It's part of the believer to be forward looking. Also, not investing or reckless investments, we don't have time to talk about that. But that's also for those who have extra money, don't squander it. If you are in your 20s or your 30s, you don't have the big obligations, you should be saving and acquiring investments. It's part of financial planning. So the dua, the Prophet ﷺ speaks about this dua, that for those of us who are in debt, it was narrated from Ali radiallahu anh that a muktab, a slave who wanted to buy his freedom. So you could ask my boss, look, I'm a slave, can I buy my freedom? So the slave, he wanted his freedom, and he said, I'm unable to pay off my manumission, my slavery. Help me, he came to the Prophet and said, give me some money so I can be set free. So the Prophet ﷺ said, shall I not teach you some words? Or Ali said, some words which the Messenger of Allah taught me. And if you have debts like the mountains, Allah will pay it off for you. This dua. So what is that dua? So Ali said, O Allah, suffice me with what you have permitted, so that I have no need of that which you have made haram, and make me independent of means by your bounty, so that I have no need of anyone besides you. Suffice me with the halal, against, and so I don't need the haram, and make me independent from your bounty, so that I don't need anybody else. Recite this all the time. Next week, inshallah, we'll continue on this, and we'll talk about the one who spends too little. Perhaps your problem, why your rizq is not going forward, is because you're not spending enough. Maybe your calamities that you feel in your life is because your wealth is actually holding you down. Spending too little. Being actually miserly. There's some of us who spend too much and some of us that spend too little. And it's the challenge of life, the test. We'll talk about those people hoarding and amassing wealth next week, inshallah. Just an announcement. For those who would like a copy of the series, you can mail me directly, wismuhammad@gmail.com, or you can go through our WhatsApp line. Also, our AGM, Tuesday the 18th of December, 7:30 at Burhanul House in Almonda Street. Yeah, just before you get to the blue, not the blue center, before that. And we'd like everyone to attend. The fact that, subhanAllah, we have an AGM and only six people attend, it really says that of the masjid, this is the care and the interest we take in the masjid. That this is the care that we take about the deen. When it comes to matters about dunya and people, we are ready to come. But with the AGM, I've been at a few of them. I don't think once in my 6-7 years here have we been able to reach a quorum on the beginning. We have to wait, phone this Buddha, look, are you available? Can you come? So we can just start the meeting. This is the attitude that we have with the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this affects you. This is your deen, your akhirah. If you have concerns, this is where to raise it. We complain outside of the masjid or on social media. These are the platforms to raise your concerns and discuss things. So anyone who has a stake in the nursery school, the masjid, the center, just the book up as well, if you know, or you work close by, and all of you being musallis here, even if you don't live here, you have a stake in this. Please attend the AGM. Raise if it's concerns, raise it. And if you have some positives, we also appreciate that as well. Mention that as well. Our series, The Women Around the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, continues, coming to the last 10 episodes or so. If you'd like to be added on, no problem. We'll give you all of the 084-222-1308. May Allah bless you in your wealth and your family. May Allah increase you in sustenance. And for those who are traveling, I have a safe journey, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.